I want to, Lord willing, begin something this morning that I will not finish. If you want the next part of it, you have to come Wednesday night. And if you want the last part of it, you got to come next Sunday morning. I hope the Lord gives me the strength to do that. I wasn't sure if I'd even be able to say that this morning. Recently had a birthday, and I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning and didn't sleep anymore. I could have preached this message, the next one, and the next one, and had some left over by the time I got up. But there is so much that needs to be said. And in my opinion, so little time to say it. In line this week, waiting to go in to have my device checked, we were next. So the lady said, go around. Go through those far doors over there and you'll find the lady over there that will sign you in. I'm next, you know. Why won't I go all the way over there? I got over there and there was nobody there, so I got to go next. And in the course of the conversation, I said, lady, I don't like this being run from one area to the other. And when I came out, they did the same thing. And I said, look, I am 97 years of age. And the lady looked at me, and my wife said he turned it around. 79, so, you know. But anyway, I was really beginning to be irritated. Now, I don't know how irritated I would be if I were to take all the time that I preached through the years and nobody listened. Well, we heard it. They might have, but they didn't do nothing with it. There is something going on in our world today. As we were leaving church, so help me God, Wednesday night, before we got out of the church parking lot, phone was ringing. Saw on Facebook, there had been a series of breaking and entering in the Huntsville area. Hey, there's not a thing in the world I could do about it at that point. How you know this is on Facebook? Somebody found it out, put it on Facebook. The other day we were at the hospital to visit a lady that was about to lose her baby. They got it turned around and had to have the password. So somebody came down and gave us the password. Well, you got to go over and get your funny paper out, or your back pocket or your pocketbook, and let them see the driver's license. They take your picture and then they'll give you a tag and you can go up. And a policeman said, "What good is this?" He said, "People come in here and they don't want anybody or everybody in visiting. And you gotta have a password." He said, "You know what they do? They put it on Facebook and everybody and their daddy comes in. They got the password. Get their picture made. We're in trouble." I want to read from Hebrews chapter 4, about 3 or 4 verses. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Now listen to this verse. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Now skip down to verse 11. "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest." Now we've begun searching for that rest. Now the writer is saying, "Let us therefore enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Folk, in our world, we are acting like people that have never believed. Verse 12, "For the word of God is quicker and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." I want to title what I'm going to say today, "The Inspired Word of God." You know, the Bible is a good word. Now, if you want a good word, read your Bible. And I think that maybe all of us here today understand that we are referring to the inspired word of God. This word Bible comes from a Greek word that means, or the Greek word is Bibelos. Bibelos. B-I-B-L-O-S. And it means a book. We got the Bible, we got the book. And my favorite term in all of the Word of God is found in verse 12, where it says, and it calls it the Word of God. The Word of God. As I look through the Bible and I read the Bible, I find another term that is very prevalent in the Bible. And that saying is, "Thus saith the Lord." It is found in the Bible over 400 times. So it must mean something. It must have something in what it said that says to all of us, we really need the Word of God. Now I hope you stay with me today. I hope you come back Wednesday night and stay with me. And then again next Sunday and stay with me. Then Justin will be back. What is the Bible talking about when it talks so much about His Word? What God had to speak. What God had to say about history. And Hebrews is not the only book that talks about the Word of God. Let me give you two examples. Paul wrote, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6, 17. And then we have Peter writing about it in 1 Peter 1 in verse 23. Peter wrote, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There is something about the Word of God. Now, Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is divine. And it also tells us that it is very divine in its origin. Many centuries went into making and required to put the Bible together. Now, if you've ever been to a good Bible institution, they will tell you things that might shake you from the top of your head to your feet. Things that you don't get in the pulpit and really preach about, but it's true. It's true. In the beginning, most things were Catholic. Most things were Catholic. And then through numerous authors, they finally put the Bible together into 66 books. 66 books. And when you go to the Gospel of John, John began explaining the Word of God. Now, if you read your Bible, and if it was up on the screen, it would read like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But back early, when this was put together, it said, in the beginning was the Logos, L-O-G-O-S, and the L-O-G-S was with God, and the L-O-G-S was God. But it has now been transformed to mean Jesus. Jesus Christ, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was a light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Dear friends, where are we at in the world today? What is going on in the lives of people today that is not making any difference at all? I will tell you some things, Lord willing, in a little while, that may shake your thought, but it's all true. The Greeks of that day, a biblical day, used logos to render the principle of reason. And logos became heavy with the weight of Greek philosophy. I don't know if he's been there yet, but I think Justin may see some places that will probably speak to some of this. But to the Jewish mind, it referred to God in his active power in history. His command. God doesn't have a command today. You can disagree if you want to, but he doesn't have a command. There was a time when God spoke and history changed. It would change. There was a time when God spoke and blessings and judgment occurred. I was in a church once for a wedding. Had never seen that before. I had heard about it, but I'd never seen it. And in the front of that church was a bench. And I said to the wedding party, "Are you not going to take this bench out?" "No. That bench is going to stay there. That is the mourning bench." People would come to that bench and mourn for children, for neighbors, for friends, for church family. There was a time that God would speak and miracles would happen. Miracles would take place
We read about it all through the Bible. Miracles taking place. But John says, I'm going to call Jesus the Word. The Word. He is ultimate for redemption. Nothing can stop the Word of God. We may not heed to it. We may say, oh, preacher, I hear everything you say. Maybe I'm not saying anything. Maybe the preachers are not saying anything. But there's something wrong. Desperately wrong. In the world that we live in today, we have the inspired Word of God. I had a professor come walking in class one morning, and all of a sudden he said, God is not a buzzard. What in the world is he referring to? He said, we treat God, we treat the Word of God just like a buzzard. We don't pay any attention to it at all. As I read my Bible, my Bible is always making assertion to the Word of God. Paul wrote about it to young Timothy. He said to young Timothy, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it is profitable. In other words, it's teachable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, giving us something to go by. It will correct us. Have you ever in your life read or heard as many lies as you read and hear about every day of our lives? Terrible. Terrible. It's also for instruction in righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? Righteousness is simply being right with God. And you don't need to get right with God if you're already right with God, but if you're not right with God, you need to get right with God. It's a good thing that we can get ourselves right with God. Man is so equipped. He's got everything he needs to do things with. Everywhere you turn, somebody is making something to make it easier. But in 2 Peter, Peter wrote, prophecy had its origin in the will of God, not man.
in the will of God.
But men began to speak, not just any man, but people were speaking as God led them to speak. As God used them and carried them by the Holy Spirit of God. There's no reason that no church is not full in the United States of America today. There's no excuse for it. If people were listening to what God is saying to us, if people were allowing God to come into their lives, the gospel is being preached. It has been preached and preached every Sunday, every Wednesday night, and yet people are going on as though nothing is out of whack. As we were backing out to come to church, here come a racket up the road. It was a truck pulling a pontoon. And I said to Carl, and I guarantee you they're not going to church. Now my neighbor did mow yesterday instead of Sunday. That's a strange thing. But you know, Peter says, that the word of God did not come just because human beings chose to give it. Didn't come that way. A lot of you can write books. I tell by looking at you. You can write books. But in those books, would we humans be as honest as God is? Would we? Now, you got to remember now, when you write it, it's going to be critique. And there are going to be several that don't agree with you. And it must be that way with the Bible, the way people take what it says. But let me ask you, would we reveal, if we were writing the Word of God, would we reveal the clay feet of those heroes of the Bible? Would we? Would we handle what David did and his failures the way the Bible handled it? An 18-year-old girl came to me once in a pastor. She said, "Preacher, I'm in trouble." "Huh? I'm in trouble." And I said, "What in the world is the problem?" She said, "As you know, I'm a senior in high school. And every girl in my class is either drugging, promiscuous, and I am ashamed at what's going on among my classmates. And I said to her, I said, I know you can't fix it all. Pray for them and do all you can to talk to them. She said, it ain't none of my business. It's all of our businesses. Noah was a man. And by the way, I got a replica of the ship that they built, Noah's Ark, up in Kentucky. Hey, by the way, it's got a light on it too. It lights up. Given to me as a present. But it doesn't say anything about Noah's drunkenness. Will we just leave it out and hope nobody knows? Or then there's old Lot. He and his wife started. And nothing to do his wife, he had to look back. Get one more glimpse of Solomon and Gomorrah. And she turned to salt. She died. Lot had two daughters. He brought two children into the world with those daughters. Would we have left that out? Would we have seen fit to put it in there as a part of what needs to be done? A couple of weeks ago, I believe it was, we sang an invitation here that brought back to my mind something that I want to close with today. And I hope I do it in a way that you will understand what I'm saying. That song, a good song, done well, had two people, I believe it was, came forward that Sunday. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord. I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Now let me give you a true story. That is true. A man had a son. He had two friends.
They all three carried shotguns and went into another state and held up a store. They were caught right away and given 24 to 34 years in prison. I became the pastor of the daddy shortly after that happened. And every week he was traveling into another state to visit that son. And it wasn't long until he would tell me, "Preacher, when I go to visit, he's in solitary confinement. They're mean to me in this state. They're giving me a hard time." See, he wanted his dad to go to work and talk to the governor of that state and then the governor of this state and see if they could get his son transferred. Because every week when he'd go up, he'd find his son in solitary confinement. Well, the dad worked, and the dad worked, and he got him moved to North Carolina. First 2 weeks he went to visit him, everything was okay. Third week he went, his son was in solitary confinement. And he said, "There's something wrong. My son's doing something." Well, he had friends that come to visit him. And at 10:30 at night, they were throwing drugs over the fence to him. And that's the reason he was in solitary confinement. Well, they got that straight. And then he went back and he was in solitary confinement again. And this time, he was going out on road work. You know, that was in the days when the prisoners went out and worked. It wasn't like you and I, somebody go out and pick it up off South Road now. The prisoners did it. He had lined it up that they would leave beer sitting. He would give directions what road they'd be on. And they, of course, find the beer and they start drinking it. Back in solitary confinement he would go. Now you're wondering, what in the world does that have to do with I surrender all to Jesus? We sung that one Sunday at church. I don't know where there might have been some response. In those churches in those days, there was usually somebody in the altar. For some reason. I went out that day and stood at the back, and the dad came out and he said, "Preacher, don't sing that song no more in the church." And didn't think so much about it right at the moment, but I didn't like it. And two or three Sundays later, we sung it again. He come out and he said, "Preacher, I told you to never sing that song again in church." And I had him by the hand. And I said, "Brother, would you mind telling me why?" He said, "No, I don't mind telling you." He said, "Because there's not a one of us going to surrender all
to Jesus. Where have we gone? Where have we come to? The gospel is being preached. People are hearing the message, but very little response is being made. I've done our invitation already. We'll have the choir response when I pray. Our Father and our God, go with us, lead us, and keep us, O Lord, that we might do and respond as you would have us to. In your name we pray.